When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady. But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. And they don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You'll just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Destiny thing, and I made a bargain with it.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander, and in this earth, and then in a world we can't see. Well, those early songs were like almost magically written. Darkness at the break of noon, shadows even the silver spoon.
Enter the democratic delegations of deadly deceptions, engaged enraged voters, staged elections, heartstring strangled perceptions, the matrix multiplied by inception. Enter the dragon, enter the beast, common sense deceased, critical thinking policed, new world order complete, beat to beat. Enter Ole, the truth seeker, code breaker, peacemaker, false flag eliminator, magi's make amnesia greater. Enter memory activator, esoteric translator, exposing mankind's traitor, trading their soul, dug themselves in a hole at this depth. The shoveling coal for Satan's stove, burning a billion bank rolls. What's the goal? I know the toll. Pass go, go to jail, post up, post bail, assail your soul, derail your train of thought. Got one they think not, it's their plot to replace you with a bot, hang you from a knot, jab your arm, heart disarm with a blood clot. Manhood's proven with gunshots. Stop and think or get got. Compliance to boost shots. Stop and think or get got. Manhood's proven with gunshots. Stop and think or get got. Stop and think or get shot. Boost shots. Stop and think or get got. Boost shots. Stop and think or get shot. Boost shots. Stop and think or get got. Boost shots. Who got shot? Trump or not? Boost shots.
Operation Warp Speed. Shall I proceed to bleed the truth through the feed? Inform the swarm, the voucher for Satan's seed. The scene shifts quick to the obscene. Space for smart grids and a warp speed vaccine. Mere greed or the meek shearing the sheep. Listen before you speak and believe nothing unless you heard it from the geek who raps on a podcast twice a week.
Welcome into my world where you have to be like a geek 2.0, okay? Because you got one operation on a street level to get most people confused and look in the wrong direction. The truth is over here. Then you got another part, which is like a psychological operation undergoing this whole thing. That is, why they do this, I'm not really sure, but I've noticed over the years that this is also part of how they do it. And I think it's marketing. Like many of these things, these operations are just like normal marketing. Ask any kind of experts in marketing and they will tell you, well, it's just like we do with cornflakes. But here it's a matter of manipulate the mindset of the population into whatever direction they want you to go. It's normally called national security. Absolute bullshit on steroids. It's their agenda. National security, it's their security. Draining the swamp, releasing documents 70 years later. Why 70? Because everybody involved is dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, and joining us again for a second round, maybe a third. My memory is not serving me. The great Ole Damegaard joins us. He is the man from Light on Conspiracies, and we're going to be talking about some recent events that I think affect the entire globe and not just our American political system. So without further ado, Ole, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. Remind the folks where they can find you and tell us a little bit about what you've been up to in the past few months since we've talked.
But thank you for inviting me, Mark. And my God, I've always been thinking that, you know, I should maybe try and calm down a little bit and give myself a breather. But I mean, the world just keeps accelerating into what could look like madness. But it's actually an inverted version of reality that some very dark forces are trying to force on us. So I've been it's nonstop at the moment. I've been digging very, very deep into the alleged Trump assassination attempt, which I think I'm the only one in the world who's actually pointing in a certain direction, which would be straight into the center of it with Trump in the middle. And also a lot of these directed energy weapons hits on cathedrals in the Danish stock market, the Notre Dame. There's also one in France that are all, if you ask me, connected and are part of it's like there's this massive agenda going on, especially in NATO countries right now, completely following the New World Order and also with a deep underground psychological undertone to it. Like there's this psychological warfare against us, trying to force us into an ambush, I would say. An ambush where actually Donald Trump is right in the center of this whole thing. I have no interest in him in politics at all. I don't know who Donald Trump is. I don't really know what he stands for. I don't trust any of these individuals on that level, that low level, I would call it. I mean, there's a lot of theater. There's a lot of staged elections going on. There's a lot of hidden agendas going on. So I don't look at for instance, in this case, Donald Trump as an individual. I'm looking at what actually happened. What was it? Because it's problem, reaction, solution. I mean, whatever the problem is, we're being served a solution that is pointing the world in a certain direction. So I think it's in a very drastic direction. So I think it's very important to find out what was actually the problem so that we know that the solution is what we're being served. And I think it's going the exact opposite. I think there's a very, very deliberate ambush going on a global scale here, trying to force us into a certain direction.
Wow. Wow. All right. That's a strong way to start the conversation, and I'm ready for it. I really appreciate you joining us again, Ole. And just remind the people while we're at the top of the show, you know, sometimes people have a short attention span, where they can find your show or, well, your writings and your books and all your work. What website can they go to?
My website is lightonconspiracies.com. That's conspiracies, plural, and .com. There's more than one going on, I can tell you that. And that website is my whole life there. It's more than 5,000 articles. There's more than 1,200 of my interviews, podcast, webinars. You can stay on that website for 5 years, I tell you, nonstop, yeah, if you're interested.
Again, thank you again for joining me. That's the last time I'll thank you. But you have so much that we can dive into as far as resources on your website. So for anybody who has any doubts about Ole's qualifications for anything you're about to hear him say, I encourage you to keep that website handy because he has the receipts to back it up. So let's proceed. What do you think is the most imperative thing for people to take away from the Trump assassination event? I remember the day it happened, I got a text message while I was driving. It's one of those types of events where you can kind of remember where you were when you heard about it. At least for me, that was the case. And I happened to be driving on Interstate 84 here in the United States. And I just thought to myself, wow, what are the odds that I'm driving on an interstate that goes all the way through Pennsylvania? Probably could have taken me to Butler, Pennsylvania, where the event occurred. I was sort of geographically connected in a very tangential, small way to that event. And it just made me think, what's going on here? So what's the most imperative piece of information you think people should know before we proceed to break down the entire event?
Who benefits from you believing the official narrative? That is sort of like, who benefits from you believing that that was a real event? That is the thing, because for me, it's just another crime scene. I don't put any feelings into it. I don't put any political values or ideas, anything. I have no interest in
it. You're unbiased in a political way. It's not coming from this as a Biden supporter or a Trump supporter, right?
No, God, no. I mean, Mr. Diaper Biden or Trump, I have right. no interest. I have no... Right. So for me, Democrat, Republicans, I mean, really, is there a difference when you look behind the scenes? Absolutely not. They look different on the outside. Behind the scenes, it's exactly the same power structure, just different individuals on stage. Just like Shakespeare said, the world is like a theater play. And it's not only in the US, it's in more or less in so many different places around the world, be flat or round. So it's a matter of decoding. That is my specialty. And I've been down this rabbit hole for some 44 years now. And please go to my website. There's testimonials there that will back me. I have some extremely heavyweights from everything from CIA, Black Ops, you name it, the Pentagon, around the world that is backing me in what I'm saying. There's a reason why I've been interviewed more than 1,200 times. It's not because I'm full of bullshit. It is because I'm trying to make a difference by finding out what actually went down. And in this case, we're talking about this event in Butler, Pennsylvania. So what I do is I try to come and look into a case with an open mind, without any preconceived, is that what you say?
Yeah, preconceived opinions. Yeah, yeah.
Or trying to prove anything. Oh, I'm going to prove this. I'm going to find evidence that will show me that this is what happened. No, I go in, I collect everything. I got a backup. It's almost 6 terabyte now. You can find it on my website. I call it my research vault. It's, I believe, the biggest in the world in this area. It's my whole life systematically categorized in that one. So what I do is I collect everything. It's just download, because nowadays, within a day or two, many of these things that are there that we think, well, I can just go back and have a look. No, it's gone, except for the official narrative. That's kind of interesting. So I download everything. So I've got like hundreds and hundreds of videos, articles, photos, all of these things from that event. And then I sit down and say, okay, take a deep breath. Let's have a coffee. Let's enjoy life. And let's see what is actually going on here. Because if it was an assassination attempt, that somebody really tried to kill him, then the problem is somebody's trying to kill him. And in that case, who is that? If it was an inside job and somebody let this happen, like the Secret Service was pointed out to start with, then we have a problem inside the Secret Service and who is then trying to kill him. Or if we have a third option, is that there was no assassination attempt. It was all staged. And if so, who benefits from that? And option 4, if that is an inside job with all of these things happening, was Trump in on it himself? And in that case, are we being taken for an extreme psychological operation, a ride that will take us right into a future that we have no idea who's really behind, because then we've really been taken for a ride. So without adding any emotions or values or anything, I just break it down and look at it step by step by step by step. And when, if you're interested, you can go to my website. On it, I've got two webinars. It's like an hour and a half each, with a very, very detailed PowerPoint presentation in each of them, where you can see for yourself. So you don't trust what I'm saying when I'm just pointing out, look there, look there, look there, look there, look there, look there. And after a while, I tell you, very few people, if ever, has argued against me once I present these things, because I always try to do my presentations so that it's like meeting Mike Tyson. You know, it's not up for discussion, because you see it for yourself. I'm not here to persuade anyone. I'm here to share with my findings of what seems to be the truth.
Right. So now let's get into these big questions. So as far as who benefits, I mean, ultimately we can ponder what would have happened, right, if Trump did get hit. But the reality is he was hit in a very non-lethal place. I mean, probably the only non-lethal part of the body that's right next to maybe the most potentially lethal part of the body that you can get shot. I mean, really anywhere else on the head could have been a lethal headshot, right? If that was even a bullet at all. I've heard other theories, but I'm not going to put the cart before the horse here. So help us understand, walk us through this. Who's benefiting, let's say, if Trump did die, or if the case was that Trump was never meant to die and there was no threat against his life, who's benefiting from that? Because, that seems like a no-brainer question. You know, Trump obviously has gained a lot from this event as far as support, and it's really just lionized the people who are already supporting him and probably swayed people who are on the fence. So that question is a little bit obvious, but do you even explore the potential that there was an active shooter and the bullet was indeed a live cartridge that was shot at, you know, former President Trump's head? Or do you think that this was all completely fabricated like a Hollywood movie top to bottom?
Of course, I look upon it as there was a real attempt to start with. Of course, that's the official narrative. I mean, let's look at the official narrative, because, I mean, maybe, I tell you, not often has it been correct in when it comes to these type of events, but of course. So, but if it's one of these, if it is a staged event, if it is a so-called false flag operation where the attacked one is actually the one who attacks, that is a false flag operation. It's an inverted mind fuck, really, of some event, making somebody who's guilty look like the victim so that they get away with their solution of the problem. So what I reacted against right away was that there was these incredible photos. I mean, iconic historical photos where you see Trump being taken down from stage, doing the fist fight, 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 that whole thing, crystal blue sky in the background with the American flag, all of it. You could not compose it better as a photographer. I used to work as a photographer, press photographer, and journalist. So, I mean, these are just stunning photos. So it's like, whoa, somebody was really lucky that day. So what I look at, very first thing I look into is the sky. Is the sky constant in the background? Because if there is a stage event, it is almost like on a film shoot. Normally, when there are staged terror attacks and staged mass shootings, I just want to say my last name has become a verb, because I managed to predict and stop multiple of these planned attacks. I think up to 2 months before they actually happen, sometimes on international radio, I connected or predicted 76 of these events now during the last, since 2015, correctly. So I'm onto something. And this is only because I was informed from an insider of how they actually operate, and that is by leaving clues of upcoming attacks in the forensic evidence due to what is called the law of karma. They're terrified of the law of karma. So they always leave these clues there for us to find if we're awake, because the way they reason is that if they show us even in subtle ways what they're up to and we don't react, then we indirectly consent, and then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. So anyway, so when there are staged events based on this old Roman template, problem, reaction, solutions, the few in power secretly creates a problem, a mass shooting, a terror attack, whatever, a financial crash, something that goes boom, to get a reaction from us, the normal people. And the reaction they always want is terror or fear and like, oh my God, absolute panic. So boom, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then we turn towards the ones that we think are there to protect us, not understanding that it's actually them who created the problem. And they then say, well, the only way we can solve this horrible problem is, and boom, in comes the solution. And the solution is every single time the same, more and more control, more and more surveillance, more and more slavery, more and more unjust wars, you name it. We're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into this swamp. And the solution, please understand, was there from day one before the problem was created, because the problem was created for us to accept the solution that was there to start with. So when they set up these operations, it is normally with a security drill the day before. So when you look at terror attacks, I've looked into hundreds and hundreds, and I've been on location on many, many of them. Mass shootings, exactly the same. So what they do is, it's normally FEMA drills, NATO drills, these type of security drills, depending on what country you're in, mostly NATO countries. And so what they do is they come in the day before and they say, there's a security drill for your protection. So they clear the area. We, the normal people, just have to leave the area for our protection so that they can set up this drill. During that drill, it's exactly like a film shoot. What they do is they come in with directors, with film crew, with lighting, with pyrotechnics, with some explosives, with crisis actors, with marketing agents, with catering, with toilets, with the makeup facilities. All of these things are brought in on location. And it, during the first day, during that drill, they rehearse the whole thing. They go through the whole script of what has been set up way before this thing goes down, the whole thing, how this should run out. And it's more or less always the same sort of the same story that they want to bring out. And the result is always fear, how to sell fear to the mainstream audience. Fear, 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 so that they can get away with the solutions. So during the drill, it's just like a rehearsal. So it's also during this drill that they take all of these high quality photos of terror, of mass shootings, also both video and still photos, where they get all of these shots that are then spread out into the world saying, absolute terror happened here. So you have to ask yourself, how did the photographer end up and was exactly at that point getting that exact angle, getting that opportunity? That is amazing. You see that over and over again. But it's during the drill when nothing happens, that's when these photos are taken. They also do what I call the catwalk of death. It's like somebody, you never find out who, walks around with a cell phone and is just filming the victims lying around moaning and looking half dead or dead. This footage is normally very blurred, so you don't really see what's going on or who is taken. You don't get any sharp details of the victims and so on. That is also taken during this drill. But the main thing is that they choose days with the same type of sky, because the idea is that then when this occur happens and it goes live, now we have a mass shooting there or a terror attack there, then they have to have the same type of sky in the background so that they can blend the footage from the drill with so-called live footage from the location so that there will be the same background. You cannot have sort of like one thing filmed on one day, clear blue sky, then when it goes down live the next day, that it's overcast. You cannot have that, because in the live footage, what we're being told is live footage from the location, you will then see overcast clouds, clear blue sky, overcast blood. That doesn't work. So all terror attacks, all mass shootings, when they're staged, they will have more or less a clear blue sky in the background. It will be also filmed on the same time of day. So what I look for right away is there a difference in the sky in different parts of what we're being told? This happened and this photo was taken at the same time as this and this, and they were being interviewed right after it happened. So I look at the sky. I look at the angles of the shadows. Just make sure, was these photos and this video taken at the same time of day? I also check when is the sunset on a sunrise on a day, so that I can check the angles of the shadows so that it matches with the official narrative. I mean, the official narrative should be the truth. There should be nothing that was messing up with the, it should just be constant and it's just a smooth flow of everything and a timeline that matches up if what they tell us is true. So we look at Donald Trump here. So just before he was shot, we had this footage, video footage taken straight from the front. You can see that it's late in the day because the light is getting a bit goldish, a golden light, but very clear light. So it's like around 5:30, 6 o'clock for sure. It's good. The lighting is good. So sharp details and all of that. When the video footage is shot from straight from the front, look at the sky. It's dark gray. It's dark gray in the background. Then you look at these iconic photos. They're clear blue. It's crystal crisp blue, light blue, not late in the evening, not dark gray when we see there. And then the witnesses that are being interviewed just half an hour later by media, it's completely overcast. It's completely, there are clouds everywhere. So right away, I just thought, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's something that doesn't match up here at all. So we start also, if it's one of these operations, there would be built-in herrings, like leads to the wrong way. And these will start forking up to more and more and more. I've learned this over the years from insiders because I always go to the source. I'm in this lucky position now that I have contacts all over the world. So I ask, you know, people that are ambulance drivers or SWAT team members or Secret Service or like this. So I learned from them instead of me guessing. So, and in these black ops, I've been a close friend with Cody Snodgrass, who was a black op for more than 20 years. Unfortunately, he's passed now. But other black ops also, how do they do it? How do they do it? And with these operations, like I said, if it's a setup, they want your attention to go in the wrong direction, away from the truth. It's just like watching an illusionist or a magician on stage. They want you to look in the wrong place. So there will be a diversion away. And that diversion will then start forking up in more and more and more and more things that will just get us into discussion with each other and looking in the completely wrong direction. So did any of this happen? I also want to bring back also just say that there's one man that I really admired. His name was Fletcher Prouty. He worked in the Pentagon and in Black Ops for many years. He is the guy that is portrayed as Mr. X in the JFK movie. And after JFK, he became a whistleblower. He and was extremely knowledgeable. And it's through him that I've learned a lot of the things that I'm now using to expose these type of things. And so what he said was, when things like this happen, do not look at what happened. Do look at what did not happen, what should not normally happen. These are the giveaways that it could be that there could be foul play involved. So was there anything like that involved? Was there anything that differed from on this location or this event? So we look at the location. Where was it? It was in Butler, Pennsylvania. Okay, we check out Butler. For one thing, it's a strange name. Many times the names of these locations are part of the psychological operation. I can come back to that one, but it's a distinct name. We look, so where is it? It has a population of 13,500. That is in the middle of nowhere. Why would anyone that can fill a stadium, in this case, dear Mr. Donald Trump, why would he pick a place like that in the middle of nowhere with very little sort of eyes from the outside? Okay, so we look from a point of view of security. It's flat. This is a tricky one for Secret Service, in this case, who said to be responsible for the security here, because nowadays, with the type of and quality of weapons, you can have a sniper, even like an amateur, can be like a mile away and pinpoint a target. You know, if it's flat, there's no buildings in between, there's nothing like. So really hard. And the Secret Service, they always have to look 360 because the threat could be anywhere. So we look at this, it's completely out in the open. Donald Trump out in the open with an area completely open for these type of attacks. Why, oh, why, oh, why would they choose a place like that? Doesn't make any sense at all. So we look at normally Secret Service uses local law enforcement. They come to the location like maybe a week ahead. They start checking out the area. They start closing in, locking down buildings, locking windows, securing them, all of it so that there will be no problems with security. Okay. And then there's an inner ring of security that is then broadened out. There are multiple rings of security where the local authorities are part of controlling the traffic and so on. And Secret Service are in charge of the one around, in this case, Donald Trump. So is this what happened? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, okay. So what happened there? So we look at the alleged shooter. His name, they always have when it comes to these lone crazy guy, they always want them alone and crazy or fanatics so that they can use that as a blame. But anyway, they always have three names: James Earl Ray, Lee Harvey Oswald, and in this case, Matthew Thomas Crooks. Also, very often when these are psychological operations, the names of the people, the key people in the operations are also part of the psychological operation. So here we have somebody called Crooks. It's like it's there to affect your subconscious so that you buy into it more. And Thomas Matthew, both of them are biblical name. And there's a biblical undertone in this operation that we can come back to later. But anyway, Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old, no background in politics, no background in shooting, no background in whatever, no, nothing. And we are being told that this guy outsmart the Secret Service that should be the best of the best of the best of the best. That's why they're the Secret Service. He outsmarted them by parking his car around the block. That was his incredibly skilled decision that just outsmarted them. So he left the car where he had explosives. Where did he get these from? But anyway, there was said to be explosives there. And then he left the building. And the way he bypassed the Secret Service was by walking. So he walked past this ring of steel around Donald Trump. He brought with him a rifle. Nobody can explain how did he get the rifle in there. He brought a ladder. How did he bring the ladder in there? Nobody can explain that. They said maybe he was there the day before and put. Well, you as Secret Service should have taken it down. I mean, that should never have been allowed to happen. And then it said that he was stopped and they found some technical equipment. I can't remember the name of it, but it's sort of like a laser distance calculator that snipers use to calculate the distance. He had one of them on him, they say, but the security just said, well, not a problem. So they just let him pass. Where did the rifle come? God knows. Anyway, so he goes and he climbs up on the nearest building to the stage, then the one closest to the stage, some 400 feet away. There's nothing in between him. It's free sight to the stage. That building should have been the first one to be completely secured. And it was because the police was using it as their headquarters. So he climbs that building 134 meters, 403 whatever feet from the stage. He climbs up there. He's observed by people in the audience. He's observed by a police officer that even climbs up the stairs, the ladder, sees him and goes down again. And then there are two, we're being told that the Secret Service, this incredible security, they had snipers on the roofs. Yeah, two on each side, looking in one direction. This is absolute bullshit from a security point of view. There should have been a 360 degree, but here they're very obvious and they're very out in the open looking in the same direction towards the building where he was. And then we're being told that the guy who then is told to have killed him, he saw him coming up, that he saw he had a rifle. He reported to Secret Service saying, shooter observed, can I fire? And they said, stand down for about 3 minutes. And then the shooting started, and then this sniper shot him and killed him. So, okay. I'm just saying, how big are the chances that anyone could be let that close to the stage with a rifle? It's 0.00 bullshit, 0.00 not happening, 0.00. It is impossible. It is impossible. We had the same with a shooter from the water tower. I mean, give me my official comment. It's like, no, that tower, that water tower should have been secured from days before. That is the most obvious place of all. There, they should have a sniper up there. Instead, we're seeing, oh, there's a shadow up there. Okay, so the Secret Service, first of all, they were giving a real bollocking, and the head of the Secret Service was really being criticized because how could they ask this sniper to stand down when he had a free, you know, a possible to take out the shooter and everything like that? So first it was the Secret Service. Then suddenly we're being told, no, the Secret Service, it wasn't the Secret Service that was protecting this whole thing. It was somebody else. So the people that are jumping on top of Donald Trump was not Secret Service. That's the official narrative now. So who were they? No, they are said to have been employed by Homeland Security or someone else. But when you look at them, they are not professional whatsoever. They're doing exactly the opposite to what Secret Service would normally do, or anyone that knew anything about security. These are not trained people at all, at all. I mean, at all. Half of them are women. Nothing against women, but when you have security on that top, ask any top-level individual, what do they prefer, a woman or somebody really big, muscular type of, you know, Batman MMM fighter that can really deal with a physical threat as well. Here we have women, one of them quite overweight, can't even holster a pistol, is doing all of it is just wrong. Everybody jumps on top of Trump instead of some should have been on top of him. Some should have been complete having check on the horizon because there could have been multiple shooters. And then they let him up with showing his head out in the clear over and over again. I mean, my God, it's sort of like this is not, they would never happen. If you want to see how Secret Service really works when it's Secret Service, look at the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. That's how they do it. That's is where the way they've been trained, the way everything is set up to do. That's how they should react. Here we see the exact opposite. Absolute. These guys had no clue what they were doing at right. all. At all.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up as a comparison because it's easy in this, you know, digital age to assume that, oh, well, former assassination attempts have not been caught on camera. Well, for folks who are young like me, maybe they missed this one in their conspiracy history class. But yeah, we have Mr. Hinckley, who was recently, within the past 6 months or year, released from prison, and he's pursuing a open mic guitar career. He plays guitar at open mics, which just seems like it adds more proof to the the theory that he is some sort of patsy who is complete.
He had nothing right. to do with it. He was just the patsy being nailed for it. He was the real shot that hit Reagan was behind some bushes. All of it was set up by George Bush Sr.
Right.
It was a way of getting Reagan out of the way, and it failed. But it really scared Reagan, so he just more or less stepped down. He kept he was still the president, but the one running the show was George Bush in the background.
Right.
I know people like Barbara Honegger, who worked in the White House at the time under Ronald Reagan. Everybody knew that it was Bush behind this whole thing, including Ronald Reagan. But what I'm saying is, doesn't matter what happened that day, but was when you see how The Secret Service reacted there. Within seconds, you had two guys jumping on top of the target. I mean, Reagan was pushed into the car within a fraction of a second or something like that. One Secret Service was standing in front, taking a bullet for him. Then you had people jumping the shooter. And at the same time as people were on top of the shooter, you had several others were scanning the area with machine guns up, scanning the area so that everything was taken care of. Here, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous when you see it. So, and now on the news also, they say that, no, it wasn't Secret Service. It was someone else. Okay, here we have Donald Trump saying, oh, praising Secret Service. Thank God for them. No, they weren't Secret Service officially. Right. And then we have Secret Service saying, well, we don't know the sniper. We don't have anyone with that name on our list as Secret Service. Can you see how it starts forking out here, becoming confusing? Then you have the alleged shooter, 20-year-old with no background with weapons, no nothing like that. So now they say that he wasn't working on his own; that he had offshore bank accounts. He was in contact with an American billionaire. He had contact with Saudi Arabia. He was working for BlackRock. He was an informer for the FBI. He was 20 years old. He had almost no diapers on him still. I mean, if you wanted to do a real attempt on Donald Trump, don't you think you would have chosen somebody who knew what he was doing? But then you have, listen here to how it forks out. First, there was Thomas Matthew Crooks. Okay. How did they find out that it was Thomas Matthew Crooks? Because he didn't have any idea on him. The dead body was up on the roof. How did they find it? They said through DNA. What? I mean, normally you take a blood sample or any type of DNA sample. It takes a long time before you get the results. And to get a result, you have to have a register with that person is part of the register. How did this Thomas Matthew Crooks end up in a DNA register? When he had no background and no criminal activity or nothing. And then also so fast through DNA. This is part of the psychological operation, how good DNA and this whole thing is. So well, we should have it on all.
Correct me if everyone. I'm wrong, but you don't, I believe you don't get your DNA taken unless you're convicted and incarcerated. Arrest, you would at the most get fingerprinted and photographed. You wouldn't get your DNA collected if you just got a minor arrest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, we've got the one and only The Hit Kit, the number one way to stay lit. HitKit.us or The Hit Kit on Instagram. To purchase your Hit Kit today, make sure you use the promo code CRAZY. And there's all sorts of new 3D printed Hit Kits that I really love, along with an amazing new 3D printed stash box. These things look great. You can't even tell that it's been 3D printed. It's such high quality material, and it locks into place, keeps whatever you got smoking safe and sound, and nearly childproof. I don't know. A child over a certain age could definitely figure it out. But yeah, as long as you keep the keys away from the stash box, it's pretty much childproof. So anyways, here we are in the mid-tro. I'm going to keep this one nice and short. Big old shout out to BrainSupreme.co. BrainSupreme.co for all your microdosing needs. Adam Schell, the number one microdosing coach. If you need some help, if you need some advice, I guarantee he is the man who will help you. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout with BrainSupreme.co. CRAZY or CRAZY15. It should be CRAZY15. And then Raw Optics, we've got a new sponsor, Raw Optics, for all your blue blocking light needs. That's right, they've got lenses for daytime and nighttime. It'll block the blue light from your view. Get in tune with a higher frequency as soon as you eliminate all this blue light. I gotta do it. I feel like a hypocrite talking about it because I don't have any Raw Optics lenses yet. I just have some regular Ray-Bans, so I'm very excited One day I will get myself a pair of Raw Optics with your help, folks. If you guys buy yourself a pair, little by little, that affiliate, kickback will come to me. And then when I accrue enough money in the affiliate donations, I'm just going to turn that right over and place an order and get myself some Raw Optic lenses if they don't send me a pair by then. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll be having the CEO on the show very soon. But let's wrap up this sponsor break. Big shout out to Oregonite. That's Oregonite made in the great state of Oregon. And we'll be right back to this episode with Ole Damagard right after this quick break to our dynamic ads. If you'd like to hear every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast in its entirety, ad-free and interruption-free, sign up on the Patreon for $5 a month, and you get every episode, just the good stuff, ad-free, early releases. I release it as soon as I'm finished, editing it and whatnot, but anyways, enough about that. We'll be right back to this interview with Ole after a quick break to the dynamic ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's never been arrested.
Right.
That's
right,
what
right.
I'm saying.
No, Tom. No, did of they course, do of it? Course.
So see, here we are. So suddenly we're being told this is the guy and photos being sent out right away. And very often they have light blue backgrounds, which is also connected to criminal registers. You know, this light blue background. So often these alleged shooters had that. Where did that come from? He was in high school. Anyway, so then watch how it splits up now. We're shown a photo of the dead shooter. Looks like nothing like this guy. And apparently he's hit in the mouth. Normally we don't see these gruesome images. It's only the Las Vegas mass shooting and this one, as far as I know. So really horrible photo of him. Look at the photo itself. He's lying down on the roof. There's somebody with military outfit in the background. And you can see that underneath him, there's blood, fresh blood on the T-shirt, fresh blood. So that is sort of okay. Then you have across his face what looks like old dark brown paint that is cracked up. It's so dry that it has cracked up. And this is like within minutes, it seems like it's been running out of his ear across his face. What is that? So I spoke to a blood specialist that is a specialist on analyzing blood. She said, I mean, no idea. She said, I can't explain what is this thing across his face. It looked very dramatic. But it certainly isn't blood, and it's not war paint or anything like that. Okay, so that's confusing. Then suddenly there's a photo of him lying there dead without that paint across the face. How did that happen? Then they say, no, sorry, it's a different identity. It's a different guy, completely different, long-haired guy like that. So we're suddenly like, okay. So people start looking in that direction. Then another guy comes up and say, well, I'm Thomas Matthew Crooks and I'm still alive. Big underbite like this. And he's filming himself. And then suddenly he's in the transgender, that whole thing. So that there's like, what is going? Can you see how it splits up? Right. Then you have with these offshore accounts, then they interview Thomas Matthew Crooks' parents. Oh, it's so tragic. Well, our son was an informant to the FBI. What? What was he informing about? His classmates? Then he suddenly appears in a BlackRock commercial. BlackRock is a naughty company, to say the least. You know, so it just keeps splitting up like this. So that's one of the diversions away from this whole thing. Then we have one shooter, two shooter, three shooters, four shooters, and so on. So all of these things where more and more things, also when you start analyzing the sound, it doesn't even sound like guns. The number of shots doesn't match up. The directions, there's multiple shooters. What is going on? It sounds more like airsoft guns. You know, what are they called? Paintball guns like that. I even have a new friend in LA who's a Oscar-nominated sound engineer from The Matrix. What was it called? The second Matrix movie, and I think 26 other major movies. He is also completely confused around the sound, saying it doesn't match up at all. Mm. So something bizarre is going on. So let's have a look at things around the event itself. So like I said, the way they jump Donald Trump, and then the way he gets up and is allowed to show his face openly over and over again so that these iconic photos can be taken, it breaks all kind of security protocol. Absolutely not. He should have been kept out of sight, and then that they should have got him out of the area with multiple vehicles around where nobody would ever see him at all or keep him down until the whole area was cleared from a security point of view. That is not what we see. The exact opposite. And they get him into the car. Look at this Secret Service woman. I mean, my God, who's holding the door open. When you see her, it's just like, is this Monty Python? Has he ever seen anything how it's supposed to be done? No. And then look at her. Just when the car takes off, behind them, there's like a truck standing. And behind the truck, there's a bunch of soldiers, fully equipped, all of that. They're standing on standby. Then there's a guy coming in front of the car with Donald Trump, one car, no protection, no security. This vehicle leaves. And when that leaves, this guy that I tell you is some kind of production director, deputy director, whatever you want to call him, on stage, he's standing there giving them a wait, and then the car leaves, and then he's calling for the soldiers to come in. Soldiers, look at the way they run around. I mean, these are people in uniform. They're not real military guys. The same people also that when Trump is held back underneath the stage, the two soldiers that comes up in military equipment, what are they doing? And do you see any kind of adrenaline? Is there any kind of like, oh my God, if you go to war zones, I've been to war zones. If you see things like this in real life, you can feel the tension in the air. There's panic, there's screaming, there's all of these frustration and fear and adrenaline, high level of adrenaline. Here they're just jogging around like doesn't match up at all. Then we look at the crowd. Look at the crowd in the background. They're being shot at. What do you see? They're sitting, playing and fiddling around with their cell phone, looking at it. Oh my God, somebody's looking to the right. Somebody's looking to the left. Is he there? No, you're being shot at. You should be shitting yourself. Why is there no adrenaline? You look at what's his name? Vincent Fauska, I think it's called. Some people think that it's JFK Jr. He's always there with his hat. Look, he's in the background, always in the background. With a video footage shot straight from the front, he and a woman in a light blue t-shirt and cap is standing up to the right of Donald Trump. Shots is fired, Donald Trump goes down, and they're still up to the right there. Another footage taken from what seems to be an identical angle, they're on the left side of Donald Trump. It's really bizarre. So first I thought somebody has done multiple shots and then mixed them together. But then I found that the whole crowd is actually in the same positions, but wrong. I don't know how. I even spoke to this guy from Hollywood. He said he can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense how they've been able to move place like that. It's just very odd. Then we have Donald Trump. it said that this shot was fired. And thank God, he just moved his head. And at exactly that second, instead of the shot entering right next to the right ear, no, sorry, right eye in the temple and coming out the back of his head, that would have been the thing. Had he not turned his head just and with divine intervention managed to avoid that shot. Okay, fair enough. By the way, do you know any modern type of president who was hit exactly like that in the right temple with a bullet coming out the back of the head? That's JFK for you. That is exactly the way the last final headshot was hit him in the head by somebody that I've interviewed three times, James Files, by the way, and on my website. Please check these very, very important interviews out. But anyway, so once again, if this is part of a psychological operation, they're reminding your subconscious of the trauma. Look, he could have been killed just like JFK, blown the whole head off. But instead, thanks to angels or God or whatever, he turned his head and so the bullet just passed there. Fair enough. So he was very lucky, apparently. So we look at the injury. So we look at what did Donald Trump say himself right after it happened. He said he was standing up there. He looked up to the right and then he heard this bang and he felt that he was hit by something very, very hard. And he right away, he understood, oh my God, it's a bullet. So it hit his ear, which is very, very close to your head. And it went through there. So he said, I put my hand to my ear. He dropped down. And when I looked at my hand, it was dripping out blood. Okay, fair enough, Donald. So we look at the footage. I go frame by frame by frame. You can see, boom, he puts his hand up. And then frame by frame by frame, you can see hand down, hand down, hand down, hand down. No blood, no blood, no blood, no blood. Then there's some of these iconic photos when he get off stage, his hand, his right hand is open, not a drip of blood. We look at the ear. That is one part of the body where there's the most blood. You know, it bleeds so easily. And Denmark, where I was born, we even take blood samples in the ear, what do you call it, this ear tip or whatever, boom, because it bleeds so easily and with no pain. So here, according to Donald Trump's own doctor, he was there was a two centimeter hole through his ear, his upper ear. So it was very swollen and 2 centimeters in diameter. What is that in inches? That is like it's like a cent at least. You know, that is a massive hole in the upper ear. That's according to his doctor, his own doctor. So that thing should have just poured. The blood should have just pumped out of the ear. So is that what we see? No, we see when Donald Trump comes up, there's stationary blood that does not move all the way until he gets into the car. There's no dripping. There's no nothing. The blood stays where the blood is. Very odd, to say the least. Secret Service, who is specially trained in first aid and so on, should have put a pressure bandage on right away. Is that what we see? Absolutely not. Nobody cares about the ear. So we see this type of bullet. If somebody had a bullet passing that close to your ear, more or less a 100% of the outcome would be that he was death, that his eardrum was blown. You know, so is that what we see? Or very traumatic impact also on the tissue, the skin tissue, even though the bullet didn't hit the skin tissue, the air pressure around the bullet would cause serious injury. Is that what we see? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's completely fine. He can hear. He's put a tiny little Band-Aid on this 2 centimeters in diameter hole that is bigger than the tip of your nose. That is a massive hole. And also, I mean, there's multiple YouTube channels now that have tested exactly that shot with like these forensic type of shooting dolls or whatever you want to call them. Boom, there's a massive hole. The ear is just like not coming out in a good condition. It's a big hole. Is that what we see? Absolutely not. The day after this whole thing event happened, he was playing golf without a Band-Aid, and now he's appearing everywhere without a Band-Aid. There's not even a scratch on the ear. Please explain that to me. So I will ramble on here. So we look at these iconic photos. One of them is like this photo where we see Donald Trump there, and he, the photographer, even caught the bullet on the photo. That is amazing. How is that possible? Well, it is not. It's the only thing, the way you can catch a bullet like that midair is if you got a shutter speed of like 10,000 frames per second. It's like these are special cameras with special films with all of that to be able to take things in slow motion. So is that a normal press photographer? Would he take like 10,000 shots of like of every, can you imagine that, how time consuming for him when he wanted to take find a good photo, if he had to go through like 45,000 frames just to find like two photos? Of course not. So we checked the angle. Where was the photographer? He was standing down below taking a photo of Donald Trump upwards. Is that what we see in that photo with the bullet there? No, it's taken more or less straight from the front. How is that possible? Where? How could the photographer get up to that angle? He cannot. He cannot. So I call bullshit on that photo. Then we look at the other photos. Okay, so he's taking down the stairs on the right-hand side of the stage. And you see these incredible photos. I mean, you have to give it to them. And if you look at the setup of the photo where the flag is in the background, it is more or less identical to the setup of the photo of Iwo Jima, which is a super historical photo of the end of the Second World War for the American part, the Iwo Jima on the island of Iwo Jima. Okay, so we look at that photo, which is the soldiers that are standing up on top of the hill and they're pushing up the American flag like, hallelujah. Okay, that photo was staged as well. There's documentaries now where they interviewed the photographer and he said, yeah, it happened the day before. And we just thought, oh my God, it's such a historical thing. So I just took the soldiers and we went back up on the top of the hill and I said, can you please raise the flag like this and this? Please stand by, bam, bam, and boom, I took the photo. This photo is now historical. No, it's absolute bullshit. It is not a real event. It is a staged event, that one. And also now they've done all of these statues and sculptures and I don't know what from that photo that is not real. So here we look at this photo. The photos, I just want to say the photo of the bullet caught midair, the photographer is actually Donald Trump's absolute favorite photographer. He's been given the Pulitzer Prize and he's been presented by CNN as Donald Trump's favorite photographer. And this is not the only historical photo he's taken, because he was the guy that took the photo of George Bush Jr. when he was informed that the Twin Towers had been attacked. When he was in the classroom in Florida listening to iPad Goat, when the kids were reading out loud and repeating words like steel, plane, hit, these type of words. I mean, oh my God. And then this advisor comes forward and whispers into the eyes of the president, Mr. President, America is under attack. And then he doesn't react at all. He's just sitting there looking like a wit, whatever, half brain dead, whatever. But he doesn't react, even though the America has been attacked. It was more important for him to keep listening to these school kids read out of this bizarre book. And it's the same photographer that took that historical photo. So is that just a coincidence?
No, can't be. That's incredible. And when you really lay it out, I mean, it's there's so many aspects to this situation that I think prove that what we see is not what actually happened. But, initially my thoughts were, well, what if this was staged, but not on, let's say, Donald Trump's agenda, someone else's agenda who wanted to take it out and take him out, and they just happened to fail. But as you're spelling this out, I really can't leave Trump out of the equation. He seems just as guilty as anyone else with this. And you have to also consider his live performance, what would you call it? His live performance skills, his past experiences with the WWE, where they use things like fake blood and all sorts of other tricks that, you know, play with violence, right? So, I mean, not exactly gunfire, but still, it's not un you know, characteristic of Donald Trump to be in a situation like that, maybe not in this context, but at least, you know, he has some experience with that. But the other thing that really kind of stands out to me is the fact that Homeland Security is involved. We don't know who these people are that we're being told are Secret Service, when in fact their names are not connected at all to any known Secret Service agents. And then the other side of it, which, you know, with the shooter, it's like, where do they farm these people out? I mean, is this just like some sort of absolute illusion where the shooter never exists and they just take an identity of an existing person and conflate them into the situation? Or is this something where they have, you know, like a type of, body double or clone even kind of sounds too fantastic to explain it in a rational way, but it does seem like they're able to fabricate every little detail down to the last person involved. And the other side of it, which you didn't mention, but I think fits into your overall theory, is the reactions from the people at the scene who were most likely just bystanders. I mean, you mentioned how this is a small kind of out of the way place, sort of unlikely for Trump to be campaigning in a place like that. So with all the evidence you gathered in that process, did you come across any, you know, eyewitness accounts that stood out? I mean, there were the few that were pushed in front of everyone with the news. There's the guy with the crazy wig on and a couple of other people that kind of stood out as, you know, I don't know, having some character, you know, kind of interesting people in and of themselves. And then, of course, having something to say about this event. But were there any that maybe got suppressed, any eyewitness accounts that didn't get a lot of attention that maybe hinted at some of what we've been talking about so far?
Yeah, there were multiple questions in that. So let me see if I can just break it down. So there was a crowd there. The crowd reacted very strangely, at least the crowd that was behind the stage. They were very calm. They were not, I mean, normally when people get shot at, I tell you, you know it, they will just freak out and just, you know, jump for protection anywhere, jump right on top of
mad panic.
Each other.
This is how people get trampled. And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's panic for you. And I mean, when somebody shoots, when a bullet passes, you notice. I mean, you notice that is, and here, there's multiple shots being said to have passed very close to them. Here they are sitting, picking their nose, looking at their cell phone. I mean, absolutely not real. So how is that possible? Because also, you see, there was a lot of people in the audience. There was a lot of people in the crowd. Yes. Okay. But were there? Because if you look, they released some dramatic body cam footage from when the police was coming there. After the shooting were coming and they were running, and they were the ones that came more or less first up onto the roof and found the dead shooter. Okay. So I've looked at that footage frame by frame by frame. So you see, they come running. Okay. They come running. There's been shooting. Is there any kind of adrenaline? There's absolute zero, zero. They are like jogging like this. You look at the footage. Where is the crowd? There's no people. There are other people that looks like military people running, and no panic, no adrenaline, no rush, no whatsoever. They come jogging like this, boom, boom, boom. And then they say, okay, the shooter over that building. Okay. So they run across a field, no people. You don't hear anything in the background. There's nothing screaming. There's no loudspeaker saying, stay, you know, keep your heads down or wait for the police. Nothing. Complete silence. So they run. No people. They run. They go through a fence that has been taped. But anyway, they manage to get through. They go over there. There's people standing out there already. Police waiting. Yes, we got the shooter. He's up on the roof. He's dead. Okay, fine. So they run up. They go up this ladder. They go across the roof. And there he is, dead, blurred. We don't see any image of him there. But there's like 20 meters of blood that has been running out of his head, they say, like that, all the way there. It's already dry. And then you see the footage. It comes and goes so that you can see the whole area of the stage. There's no people. Where is the crowd? I ask again, where's the crowd? It was not filmed on the same day. You check the timeline of the footage. Yeah, it's correct. But where's the crowd? There's absolute something very bizarre going on. I would call absolute bullshit on this one. So how is that filmed with a dead shooter there and no crowd? It doesn't match up because it's not filmed on the same day, most probably the day before. So we have a dead body up there. And you have footage, aerial footage of the guy after he was dead on the roof before anyone has approached him. He's lying up on the roof with a rifle like 4 or 5 meters away from the body. He was hit in the head. He's lying down shooting, hit in the head by a sniper. So how did the rifle just fly like 5 meters to the side? Like, woohoo! And there's no blood, no people, no nothing on top there. What is that? It's absolutely not true. So that body cam footage is a dead giveaway, a smoking gun to say the least. It shows you that was not filmed on the same day. Then let me see the other answer. The crowd. Where's the crowd? And why didn't they say, why haven't people spoken up? We had a handful of eyewitnesses. Oh, I saw this, I saw that. Okay, fine, fair enough. But with so many people there, how can you control a crowd like that? Well, if you go on the internet, you surf to a website called crowdsondemand.com, crowdsondemand.com. You can rent a crowd. They rent out crowds. How many people do you need? 200, 400, 1,000. What is the theme? Pro-Hillary, against Hillary, pro-abortion, against the Black Lives Matter, whatever you want, they can help you with the script, the whole setup, the transport. They come with a crowd. If you're a failed rock star, if you are failed this and that or whatever, we can get the crowd for you. Boom, not a problem. You just pay us. We can transport them anywhere, as far as I know, in the world. They've even been to South Korea. So, and according to the website, they've been in thousands of newscasts, at least hundreds. Have you ever heard of them? No. But have you seen crowds? Yes. Are they real crowds? How do we know? So where does the people, and they write NDAs and all of these things, all of them that are involved has to sign these non-disclosure agreements, and boom, you have a crowd. So we look at the witnesses. You say, yeah, so apparently one guy was killed. A firefighter. They love heroes, and firefighters are heroes in many of these stories. So a firefighter was killed. He was a hero because he stood up before he even had a chance to become a hero. He stood up and was shot in the head, boom, stone dead. But he was a hero because he stood up in front of his family. Possible. When you look into this guy, very, very odd to say the least. First, he was a firefighter. Then he was the chief of the fire brigade. Then he was an ex-chief of the fire brigade. Then they couldn't get his name right. Then at the funeral, there was a big guy with a like 8-foot-long cross, like just like Jesus in Golgotha, carrying across the parking lot. When Donald Trump was kissing his uniform and his helmet and stuff like, they couldn't even spell the name right. Something very strange is going on. And yeah. So you asked me about Thomas Matthew Crooks. Is he real? I don't know. What I know is that the agencies like the CIA, the central without any kind of intelligence, they what they call legends. They can create legends very, very easily. That's part of just another day at the office. Let's create someone out of nothing. So the way they create an individual is by nowadays with software, they can create images so easily. I mean, now you can almost use them on TikTok where you can just create new faces like that. Bum, bum, bum. You mix 2-3 different images, 2 different faces. Boom, you got yourself a new person. And so what they do is they create what is called a legend, which is like a background of a paper trail that goes a certain length, so they get electric bills, telephone bills, an address, and also crisis actors, parents, people from the same school, they say at least, or headmaster, or from the same church. Boom, people are being interviewed like that. 2 weeks later, everybody has forgotten about it, except geeks like me, who've been on location multiple times looking for these people that are accused of things like this. So in Copenhagen, for instance, there was an alleged mass shooting going on there that I predicted 2 months before it actually happened on international radio. Anyway, so I went to the house where this guy said to have lived, the shooter who was murdered. He was shot dead right outside the building. And I spoke to the neighbors. So I said, what do you think of this guy? And they said, well, actually, we never met him. But I said, but didn't he live here? Yeah, yeah. And you never saw him? No. So but how do you know that he lived there? Well, we saw it in the newspapers. This is the thing. Also, I went to schools where alleged mass shooters and these young fanatics, whatever. I went to schools. I went to cemeteries. I went to all kinds of places trying to find these individuals. Even at school, they're like, yes, 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 he was here. So I said, did you ever meet him? No, no. But he was in the same year as you. Yes, yes, yes. Did you ever see him? No, no. How do you know he was here? Well, I don't know anyone who knew him, but yeah, I saw it in the media. So it's through media, suddenly we like, well, apparently he lived here. Well, apparently he existed. I didn't know him, but yes, I know him because I saw it on the news. It's really easy to mess with our minds. So I don't know if this guy existed or not. I mean, like I said, it's super easy for them to create complete new identities. If you don't trust me, just check out FBI's witness protection programs. That's the same way they do there. Create a new identity out of nowhere. Boom, here you go. And there's a new person for you. New driver's license, new, all of these things into the archives, into the, very easily done. But nowadays, if you check these guys out, you will see that they got very, very little present on social media platforms. It normally goes back to like 2-3 months back. And then small accounts with like just a handful of friends. And these friends are often also phantom identities that are used for other accounts as well. So you see that this weird connection between them. So to answer your question, I would not be surprised if this guy didn't exist at all. Or maybe he existed. But in that case, does he live? Does he not live? Yeah, but his parents were interviewed. Yeah. This is also a thing. Do you know the budget of the CIA, NSA, DIA? These type of incredible organizations like the CIA, it's a monster organization. The budget they have are massive. Do you know how many employees they have? Unlimited. Do you know any? Most of us, nope. But I know they're here. Because I'm being told that they're here, but their job is to be invisible. So how difficult is it for them to just have two of their assets to become parents of a child like this, or that they use one of their own childs as a thing like this, or just crisis actors? You've got multiple companies making incredible amounts of money on crisis acting, crisis actors that are there to be interviewed as victims or witnesses. However, they are often very, very bad at what they're doing and so on. But crisis actors are key in this whole thing. There are companies like Crisis X, Crisis Cast. You got Crisis Solutions. That's a big bad boy for you. You got, yeah, there's so many of them. You also got rentamourner.com or .co.uk. I think they closed that one down now, but you could rent people to cry at funerals. How can you say he didn't exist? I saw the funeral. There were people crying there. Yeah, you can rent them. Rentamourner.co.uk. There was, what was the other name of it? It's even, they even got a title. There's a specific Latin name for being employed as someone that can look really sad at funerals. And so I tell you, we are being deceived on a massive scale. And then after this whole thing, because they're telling you, they're also telling you, Donald Trump stood up on stage. Yeah, I want to go back to the photos. So the photos, these iconic photos with this crystal blue sky in the background. How did they get that crystal blue sky? And it's not just one photo, it's multiple of these photos. So you see the flag in the background. You have this American flag actually upside down, inverted, which is a satanic way of doing it. But anyway, there's this massive big flag that just happens to be perfectly positioned above him. Okay, so you check. First, I couldn't find the flag at all. When you look at the video footage from the front, there's no flag. There's no flag. And I was like, where is it? How could it even end up on that photo? Then the photo was taken from down below to the right of the stage, upwards, because they're coming, taking him down the stairs. That's when the photo is taken. So you see that photo, it was only when I saw aerial footage of the area where you see they have a really, really big flag on two like telescope. It's like two front loaders, truck type of things that are there with telescopic. I don't even know what to call
it. It's like a crane that they would use to work on utility lines. Flag.
Say again, please.
Yeah, it's for people in America, they might call it just like a utility truck to fix like the cranes, you know, different purposes. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Exactly like that. Okay, so that one, when you see on the aerial footage, you will see that this flag is placed behind the scenes, not above it, behind. So how could that end up in that photo? From that angle, I positioned exactly where the photographer was standing, the angle that the photo was taken. Where is the flag? You cannot take that flag, could not be there. I called bullshit once again, and it's there in multiple photos. Absolutely impossible. And from a logistic point of view, you cannot get that photo in on that from that angle. You cannot. So how did it end up there? A photo shoot. So how could they get? But I've seen from the video footage how the agents are. They must have been taking it exactly at that time, because the agents are exactly, or agents whoever they are exactly in the same position. Yeah. The photo, if I'm correct, these are studio photos taken afterwards where they taken the video footage and made sure that everybody was in the exact same position and then taking the photo. Boom, boom, boom. And another one with a flag, everything staged, the lighting perfect, and action. Boom. So this has not happened overnight. So we have one really, really bizarre thing. Is that there is a card game called the Illuminati card game that was printed in 1995 by a guy called Steve Jackson. It's a super Freemasonic Illuminati. The whole thing is really bizarre. It's a game about playing for world domination, which is what, if you look at what's going on today, this is exactly what we see. But anyway, in this game, where the last edition was printed in 1995, so many cards that are there have become true or has happened afterwards. We have the 9/11 attacks where you see the exact locations of the explosions on the towers. We have the Pentagon attack, same thing there. We have the Las Vegas mass shooting, same there. Black Lives Matters right there. COVID, we have the death of Diana. We have so many of them that has then somehow weirdly magically happened. I mean, on a bizarre level. So, and in one of these cards, there is it's a black card, or it's called Enough is Enough. There's one for you. Who has been saying enough is enough the last year here over and over and over again, dear Mr. Trump? Anyway, so the photo is of, or the card is of some that looks quite demonic. But it's Donald Trump. It's him. The whole thing, it's Donald Trump. And there's a straight line going straight through his right ear, exactly where the bullet is said to have hit. But instead of a bullet hole, it's a pyramid shape, like the Freemasonic pyramid. Exactly where he said to have been hit in the ear, that card that was printed in 1995. How is that possible? How is that possible?
You're doing great work, and we need more folks like yourself investigating this stuff and more people aware of it, which is why I'm always very grateful to have you here on the show so my audience can get to see a little bit of a glimpse into the world that we could be living in, this future that we should all take part in creating. And yeah, Light on Conspiracies is the place to go for more from yourself, Ollie, and I really appreciate it so much. Ole Demigard joins us again. I think this is the third time, actually, but either way, that's going to bug me. But it's always great talking to you. anything else people can expect? There was a few things that kind of relate to what you just said that you mentioned you would talk about as well. So I assume you have maybe some articles about these recent cathedral attacks that might have something to do with direct energy weapons as well, correct?
God, yeah. I'm onto everything. I mean, I'm on it.
Right.
I'm on it. I've also got a monthly newsletter where I'm really looking into so many and connecting dots between many, many of these attacks. And there's one thing that is really bizarre is that there seem to be like a Batman theme going on also with many of these fires, with many of the mass shootings, with also with some very odd deaths. One of them being Matthew Perry, Chandler Bing and friends.
Right.
And the mysterious death of the singer of the Cranberries and also Whitney Houston, which was a murder. Spoken about that many times, but these things are also connected. And it's so strange the way these things are going on. It's almost like these operations are being fed with ritual sacrifice also. I don't want to go into these dark areas, but it's really, really bizarre. And a lot of innocent people are being hurt. So I think we just need to transcend it. And the thing is, the one you've been waiting for is you. Don't wait for anyone else to come and save you. Don't wait for the elections. That whole thing has come super rigged from day one. It has been rigged forever and ever. Don't think that the hero will come and save you. You are the one you've been waiting for. You are the one that needs to get off your fat butt and stand up in truth.
Right.
Get up. I'm not saying get up in a violent way. I'm saying let the truth do the job, but show some courage. You know what is true to you. If we don't do anything, this world will turn into a very dark place. Look at all of these movies that are telling you, woof, it's a dark future. I tell you, it's a beautiful future, but we need to kick ourselves in the butt and just get off our lazy butts and make a difference. Make a difference. Selfless service. Go out there. Be the one you've been waiting for. Be the change in a nonviolent way. Because the thing is, if we go out with violence, we play their games, and then we create a lot of bad karma that would just, like they say, revolution. What does that mean? It just means revolt again and again and again.
Right.
The violence just goes on and on. We have to do it in a different way this time. And this is a unique opportunity. We have an incredible opportunity now to transcend this madness, but in a nonviolent way.
Oh, well said. Yeah, absolutely. And I think little by little, we're getting there. And this podcast surely will wake those up who might still be eluded and deluded with the Trump derangement or the Trump admiration syndrome. But yeah, thank you so much again, Ale and Ole. And with that, folks, please go and support our friend here. His links are in the description. From the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in Butler, PA, to You're Fired and the shoes. I mean, so many interesting points were brought up in this conversation, and I'm really, really glad we were able to have this conversation. So with that, folks, thank you for tuning in, and immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an entire part of this conversation that you are missing out on if you do not sign up on the Patreon or the Substack. This is your notice. For $5 a month, you can sign up on Patreon today and get every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast in its entirety, ad-free and interruption-free. Don't wait. Don't be late. Get on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast page. Get on the Substack. Whatever works best for you. There's a premium exclusive RSS feed there that you can plug into whatever podcast app you're already using to listen to the show. So you really don't have to change anything up. Just throw your debit card on there. $5 a month, you won't even notice it. And what you will notice is a definite peace of mind not having to hear any ads on your favorite podcast. So with that, let's get into the outro here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are on an episode of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. It's a podcast, that's right, and maybe it's a true statement for you. It's certainly a true statement for me, and I'm going to venture to guess Ole. I think I asked him the first time he was on the show, and it's really a pleasure to have him on the show. He's very intelligent, knows exactly what he's talking about, and I'll tell you what, He is one of a kind. There's not many people talking about this topic from the perspective that he is talking about it from. Actually, there's one, the Nephilim Death Squad podcast. I think they went on, Tinfoil Hat, basically breaking down a similar theory. And at first I was a little skeptical, but I gotta admit, after I heard it from Ole, I definitely gotta give the Nephilim Death Squad guys a second chance on that one. Very interesting stuff. So I don't know quite how to feel about Donald Trump at this point in time, but I really, you know, don't have much hope for any U.S. politician at this point. So we're just going to keep our heads on a swivel and remember, like Sam Tripoli said and says, no gods, no masters. Keep it Ronin, baby. Keep it Ronin. That is the way of the Ronin. Brought to you by Sam Tripoli. That was your Ronin moment, but brought to you by Tinfoil Hat. Anyways, this is way too late. I'm recording this literally the night before you're hearing this. If you're listening to this the day it comes out, very impromptu. Ole thought he was going to be on one podcast. Turns out I mixed things up with the Low Value Mail podcast, which I also helped book for. And yeah, Danny Polichuk had no guest planned for tonight. He wanted to just do the show solo. So I said, you know what, Ole, I'm not going to turn you down. You're going to be a guest on my show. So here we are talking about the Trump event in Butler, Pennsylvania. Impromptu. I hope you guys thought I did a good job. I think it's kind of funny because sometimes people are like, wow, that was a great interview. And I personally am like, I could have did a better job. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too hard on myself, but I have been focusing a lot on the raps and I want to continue to do those. So please send your feedback on everything, the whole podcast. I'm not going to ever stop with this podcast. I'm not just going to start rapping only. It's all podcasting and the rap is just the cherry on top. So anyways, enough about that. Thank you guys for all the positive feedback. Thank you to everybody who sent in a one-time donation in the past. If you do that, I will send you your proper due diligence, your credit. I will give you credit. And there's some people that are going to be getting credit in a very exclusive Substack and Patreon only video that'll be coming out. And then after that is released a few weeks later, it'll be available on YouTube and social media platforms. But I got out in the field and recorded something really cool. So get ready for that. And the people who sent in one-time donations will receive credit in the video. It's not too late for that. If you send in a donation at Mystic Mark on Venmo or PayPal, you will also receive credit. I also accept payments on Cash App, Cash Sign Mark Steves Jr., although I don't like using that one, at Mystic Mark PayPal and at Mystic Mark on Venmo. And that's it for today's episode. Go and check out more from Ole at lightonconspiracies.com. He's got so many articles there, so many other appearances on podcasts. There's plenty more in the way of information and proof to back up everything Ole talked about today. So go and check it out. And until next time, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. MFTIC.
Broadcasting the moon matrix from the lunar surface. They want you confused like you never knew your purpose. Hopping through the portals, dismantling the machine. My family thinks I'm crazy, I can't believe what I've seen. Memories of a war, the Pleiadians and Anunnaki. Stuck within the genes of a copy of a human body. DNA fractal, the universe within me. Epiphanies of science is hoarded by the Illuminati. Puppet masters know the power of the mantra. Repeating mad lies till it has an effect on ya. Subliminal messages hijack your perception, tricking the population with holographic projections. We see through it, and the system is unraveling. I'm astral traveling through the library of the Vatican on a sacred journey. I embark with the squad, forever spitting truth like Mark on the pod. Gotta know the facts, never hold back, cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers, searching through the galaxy. You might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are
We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade.
I awoke in a deep underground military base. Zero recollection of how I got to this place. Alien corpses floating in glass cylinders. Must have been extracted when they crashed into us. Animal hybrids contained in the cages. A lion with the eagle head. Monkeys with reptilian faces. Losing my mind and I'm feeling desperate. I look around the room and I see no sign of an exit. All of a sudden the wall flickers away, revealing a hangar full of spacecraft. My getaway. I run to the nearest one. See a guard knock him out. Robin Fuber's plasma gun. Hop in the ship, take the controls. They highly intuitive, I figure it out easily. Lift off, accelerate through a tunnel until I see the light. Fly into the sky, get flanked by six F-35s.
Gotta know the facts, never hold back. Cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers. Searching through the galaxy, you might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are. We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.